did.
Action. What's been happening at Bailey House? On news and interviews, don't go anywhere else. We're not a rabble, we don't gabble. We're your number one for fun. We're the Bailey Babble, Bailey Babble, Bailey Babble, Bailey Babble. That's right, folks. You are listening to Bailey Babble. I'm Matt, your host with the most hair missing. And joining me in the studio today is co-host Bronwyn Phillips. G'day, Bronny. How are you travelling?
Very well, thank you.
It's a big one today, Bron.
Oh, very big.
We'll get to the special guest soon. Hey, co-host Robbie, welcome.
Thank you, Matt, for welcoming me back into Bailey Babble, Matt.
Have you been practicing your questions, old boy?
Yes, I have been practicing my questions, Matt, very much indeed.
It'll be a well-oiled machine. Lukey's here. G'day, co-host Luke. How are you, mate?
Good.
You look very relaxed here. You're not on holidays, mate. We've got an interview to host.
I know.
All right. You're full of beans, right? You got energy. You'll perk up.
Beans. I've been playing where the Rockets are undefeated.
Oh, in the basketball. Well, here's a basketball update. The Rockets, the Mighty Rockets, play on Tuesday? Wednesday?
Wednesday. We're undefeated. We haven't lost a game.
God, don't get ahead of yourself, mate. It might be around the corner. I'm glad to hear
around
you're undefeated.
Corner.
Hey, alongside you is co-host Matt Lloyd. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you feeling, mate?
Pretty cool.
Pretty good. Excellent. That's the feedback we're after. Hey, really excited today, listeners, to bring to you a special guest in the form of our brand new CEO at Bailey House, Deborah Stewart. Woo! Deborah, can we call you Deb?
You can call me Deb. Please call me Deb. Otherwise, yeah. I think I'm in trouble if you call me Deborah.
Yeah, and welcome to the Babble. What's your feeling? What's your take on the Babble so far, Deb?
I'm just getting a feel for it. Yeah, I'm excited.
Deb, can I just ask initially, when did you begin at Bailey?
4 weeks ago, 16th of October. Hmm.
And can I inquire, why did you want the role? The role of CEO at Bailey House?
I think for all the things that Bailey House is, it was just the perfect job for me. I was finishing up a contract somewhere else and I saw this opportunity. I've known Warwick for a while and I knew what his plans were and I just thought that is where I want to be.
And so you knew of Bailey House?
I knew of Bailey House, yeah. I've known of Bailey House for maybe 8 years, 10 years, yeah. So for a while, yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
And we sent you your questions. Have you done your homework?
I have done my homework, but I didn't want to be too prescriptive, so I haven't got notes with me. I just want to be a little bit organic.
Well, that's what we like, isn't it? Rob, hey, Rob, why don't you get the ball rolling, my friend?
Is this your first podcast or interview?
Actually, Rob, no, it isn't. In my previous job, I used to do a radio stint with Southern FM roughly once a month and talk to the local community about what the organisation I was at then was doing. So I have done a few of these kind of interviews before, yeah.
You said that was a monthly programme?
Monthly, we did with Southern FM, yeah.
And the name of that program, and Southern FM's a local community station, right?
It's a local community station for Bayside. I actually met somebody from there on Friday night and started talking to her about the opportunities for Bailey House to get on that program. It was a community Tuesday afternoons. They used to do a community feature, and that was when I was at Community Health. Yeah, that's how I got onto it. But even prior to that, in my previous job to that, we used to do community radio. So I just think it's a great outlet for talking about our organisations and what we do.
Where are Southern FM based?
I think they're just at Moorabbin. So they might be right next to where the old Kingston Arts Centre is, somewhere around there, yeah.
Okay, so this is old hat for you. You're not nervous?
No, not nervous. I'm a bit nervous because I'm not quite sure that some of these questions are a little bit tricky, but I'll be fine.
You might be nervous after Bron's first question, Bronny, which is...
How have you gone remembering everybody's name?
Well, there's a few names to remember, Bron, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Have you got any tricks or strategies, Bron, when you meet someone for the first time to try and remember their name?
Maybe associate something with the name, maybe.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I try and do that. Yeah. What about yourself, Deb?
Look, that's a really good question, Bron. It has been really hard trying to remember everyone's names. And not, like, it's great today when you've got name badges on, but most people haven't got badges. Many years ago, I worked in a really big organisation and the person there knew everyone's name, and I said to her, how do you do it? How do you remember everyone? She said when she meets someone, she shakes their hands and she says their name back to them. And something about actually saying it out loud helps her to remember. So I'm trying to do that, but I'm not quite getting there. Yeah.
I don't know about yourself, but I'm not... Matt, if you forget somebody's name, what do you do?
Introduce.
Yeah, what if you've met them already, though, and then you forget their name?
I don't know.
You know what I do, Matt?
Yeah.
I don't mind saying, sorry, I've forgotten your name.
Yeah, and that's what I do. Yeah. Or I'll say, I know I've met you before, but I've met so many new people that I'm not remembering all the names at the moment. I'll get there.
I said that to someone the other day, actually. And you know what she said? You should know this by now. We've been married for years.
Of course.
It was my wife, Robert.
That was
wasn't my wife, actually. Hey!
What was it?
Matt Lloyd. Fire away, mate.
What has been your favourite part of Barley Hill?
What's been my favourite part? Well, I could say cake because I have never eaten so much cake in my first few weeks because everything I went to was a celebration. I think it has been the feeling like I've come home. Like everybody said to me, Bailey House is like, it feels so homely and like a family. And I got that feeling from the minute before I even started, when I came for my interview, I'm walking around with Natasha showed me around and I just thought, yeah, this is going to feel really right for me. Yeah.
Can you elaborate that a little bit more? What do you mean by that sense of home?
I think it's just, I know it's a workplace and we're working very hard in all the different sites, but there is just this sense, and it's maybe not home but community, that we're all here and we're all in it together, and if there's a challenge, we're going to try and work it out. If it's going really well, we'll celebrate together with cake. You know, it's just that kind of sense of belonging, really. Yeah, and you get to feel accepted really quickly. Like, you know, I'm still the new person, really, but I don't feel like that as I walk around and say hello to people. And, yeah, it's like I've been here forever now.
And that's not always the case?
No, I don't think. I think it can take a long time in a new organisation to get that feeling, yeah.
Maybe the cake needs more credit than we think.
Maybe it does, yes.
So how do you approach your new role initially?
So there are lots of layers when you're at a CEO level. It's the relationships, I think, are the key for me. So you focus on building good relationships, and that's with the board, with the people that report to you, with all the staff, all the clients, and then you start going broader because there are also a lot of other really important people to build relationships with, so families, other key stakeholders that are involved in Bailey House. So a lot of it is about, taking the time to... And I think one of the things I will always do is try and get to know people in the context of their lives. So, you know, I might say, have you got children and where do you live and what do you like to do? And then I'll share that about myself as well, because that just sort of connects you in a way that makes people feel comfortable and that they trust you to have more other conversations with you.
Yeah, a bit more personalised,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. Luke, I said you were relaxed. You haven't even got your questions in your hand, old son. Question number one from you, thanks, mate.
Yeah, why?
It's about difference, isn't it, this one?
No.
Sorry.
different from Warwick?
How am I going to be different from Warwick? Well, there's a couple of obvious things there. One is obviously Warwick was a man and I'm a woman. So there's the obvious one.
You've noticed that, haven't you, Luke?
Noticed it, yeah.
But look, I think there might be some similarities as well as differences. So I'll talk about the similarities. I think both Warwick and I have very strong values about how an organisation such as Bailey House runs, and it's about being really inclusive, it's about celebrating, and it's about opportunities. All of those things are very much where my starting point is. Where I might be different is my career background has been quite different to Warwick's, so perhaps I'll bring some different perspectives around some of the things that perhaps aren't so exciting, but they're really important. So around safety and risk and compliance and some of those things that are really important to keep everyone safe and well at Bailey House. So those are some of the things that I might have perhaps a different lens on that, than perhaps Warwick had. Yeah. But I'm also a person who I think if I used a word to describe it would be a bit visionary. So I'll have ideas and I like to, if I have an idea, I like to talk about it out loud with someone. Yeah, I don't just keep it in my head or write it down. So I might say, you know, to Matt, I might say, okay, I love Bailey Babble. What are you thinking of doing with it next? You know, and so we go on a bit of a journey together. So that's, I don't know. I think Warwick may have been a little bit like that as well. So blue sky thinker, I think, could be a good way to describe that.
And so is that similar to your leadership style?
Yeah, my leadership style is very collaborative. And inclusive. I'm not a micromanager. I will let people get on and do their work, but I'm here to support them whenever they need it.
Robbie, how will Deb know if she's doing a good job, do you think?
If she works well and works very hard with all her paperwork and all her telephone calls.
I guess that would be a part of it. Deb, how will you know if you're doing a good job?
So there are a couple of ways. One is just by asking for feedback. So saying to people, you know, how do you think things are going? There's a formal process for me knowing whether I'm doing a good job, and that's through the board and the board setting some expectations for me. So that's, we're working together on that at the moment. And just general feedback, asking people and how... It's an interesting place to be when you're the CEO because, yes, technically you're the boss, but you're really only there to support everybody else be their best selves. That's how I've always approached being a leader. Yeah.
What were you doing before Bailey House?
Well, I've had an interesting year or so. So at the end of last year, in end of sort of around December time, I finished up the job that I had in Parkdale, and I'd been the CEO at a community health service there for 5 years, and I decided I was going to take a little break and have a think about maybe do a little bit of travelling, just have some time off and think what I wanted to do next. I then got asked if I could help out down in Gippsland in a regional area to run a small hospital down there, and that was supposed to be for a month while their CEO went on holiday. And a whole range of things happened. I ended up being there for 6 months. So all through winter, I was driving all the way to Gippsland. There was frost on the road. It was dark. There were kangaroos. It was a bit scary, actually, because I've never worked anywhere like that before. It was a very different environment to be in. Lots of challenges in the organisation. But I learned a lot. And I had a fantastic team around me as well. And I knew I was only going to be there for a short while because I would have had to have moved house to go and work there permanently, and that was not an option. So I started thinking, what's next? And then I heard that Warwick was going to retire, and I thought, Bailey House, that's going to be my place. So I went through a process, and here I am.
No kangaroos on the road on the way to Bailey?
Not so far. If I'm very lucky, I might see dolphins in the bay.
Where were you in Gippsland?
I was in a place called Nearham South, which is not far from Warragul, is the main town down there. Very pretty place, beautiful little town, and a hospital that was nearly 100 years old. So had been there for the local people for a long time. Yeah.
There's no Nearham, is there? There's just Nearham South?
There's Nearham South and there's Nearham somewhere else, Nearham West or Nearham North. There's a couple of... But there isn't just a straight Nearham. No, I don't know why.
Why should people visit Nearham?
Because it is so beautiful. It's the people are lovely. There's lots of... Actually, from an arts perspective, it's a very creative kind of place. And some just lovely walks right on the doorstep of places like Mount Baubel and some the Yarra Valley parks. It sort of joins all the way up through to Warburton. So just a beautiful part of the world and some great places to stay.
It's a bit of a sort of gateway destination, is it?
It is.
A stop along the way.
It is a gateway, yes, yeah. Gateway into Gippsland. Yeah. Mm.
Deb, what was your first ever paid job? If you can think back to when you were your first ever paid job.
So my
teenager, perhaps?
So before my full-time job. So my first ever paid job was working in a shop that sold fabrics and made curtains and sold fabrics to make clothes as well. So I'm a dressmaker. I love fabrics. And I worked there part-time while I was still at school, and I think I started at about 13 and a half. I think we were allowed to start work in England at that time. Yeah, so that would have been my very first job, yeah.
So is that a hobby, dressmaking? We're going to get to your hobbies at some point, but...
Yes, it is. I guess it's a hobby, yes. I certainly never made a career of it, but it's always been something I've done, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we might get you to elaborate on that a little later. We're heading to Mr. Lloyd.
What is your childhood like?
Yeah, you mentioned England before. Maybe your childhood was spent in England.
My childhood was spent in England. You're absolutely right. I came to Australia when I was about 23. I had lots of connections with Australia, so I grew up in England, but my father, my grandmother and my uncle all moved to Australia when I was about 12. So I started coming over to Australia around that time, yeah. But I grew up in a little place south of London, about half an hour out of London, which is, you know, obviously a very big city, but I didn't feel like I grew up in a city. I grew up, you know, in a suburb, really. Yeah, suburb of London, yeah.
And what did a young Deb do? She wasn't making dresses at this stage. What did a young Deb do for fun?
Well, did start making dresses when I was about 12, but I loved to dance. I was a gymnast and I was quite good at gymnastics. I was very, very small and that made it, you know, I was a good fit to be doing gymnastics, and I did ballet and gymnastics and dancing, and I had a go at some other sports, but I didn't do very well at them, so I played hockey. My dad played hockey, so I thought, I need to learn to play hockey. And I knocked someone out with a hockey stick on the pitch, and I got banned for the rest of the year.
Did you really?
I did really, yes.
This was not a deliberate act,
Deb. It
wasn't
deliberate, it was just my coordination. So that didn't go down well at all. That was at school, and so they banned me. So every PE lesson after that, I used to have to do laps walking around the edge while everybody else was playing.
That's you're okay? Have you spoken to someone about this?
Yes, I've got through it.
Do you still have family in England?
I do. I have a sister who's 2 years younger than me. Her name's Helen, and I have some uncles and aunties and cousins and some really good friends still. Yeah.
And you endeavour to get back there from time to time?
From time to time, not as often as probably I would like, but COVID got in the way of anybody going anywhere for a while, so I'm hoping to go back maybe next year or the year after, yeah.
Bronwyn, just for Deb's sake, where do you live? What suburb?
East St Kilda.
Robbie, you live now at?
Estelle Road, Caulfield North.
Matt Lloyd, you live at?
7 Rescue Street, Oakley.
Oakley?
Yeah.
And Luke, you live where, my friend? Which suburb?
He's already been to my house, Matt.
Yeah, but for the listeners?
Bendigo Street.
In?
Chelpen.
What about yourself, Deb? Where are you living now? Are any of these guys possibly your neighbours?
No, no. I live right down the beach at Mount Eliza. So I'm quite a long way from Bailey House, really. It takes me around an hour to get to Brighton, about 40 minutes to get here. So this is an easy run. And I've been living there for 23 years.
Beautiful, down by the water.
Yeah.
We're going to head along to, back to you, Lukey.
Come again.
Would you pick up your done? I think Deb's got a meeting to get to too, Luke, so we better not dilly-dally, mate. Your second question, thank you, bud.
I know, Dad.
Could you not abuse me while we're mid-interview?
I don't like to interview.
You like to abuse me. You don't discriminate when it comes to abuse. You'll abuse me anytime, anywhere.
Sorry, yeah.
Do you have any pets?
Are you a pet guy? You don't have any at the moment, but when you grew up, didn't you have a...
We had dogs.
Dogs.
So, that's an interesting question. We have a cat called Hugo, who belonged to one of my daughters at one point and ended up, can we look after him for a little while, Mum? and that was 11 years ago. So we've had him for 11 years. He is the greediest cat I have ever met. He eats so much food and he's getting quite old now and he's not very well, but he still keeps eating. We had a little dog for 17 years and the dog was called Mojo and he was a little Maltese Shih Tzu and we loved him very, very much and he just got old and finally he passed away. But yes, that's the only time in my whole life I've ever had a dog.
Would we entertain getting another dog?
Look, possibly, but my husband said no because he does all the work with it. So, but my youngest daughter now has a dog, a little cavalier cavoodle called Cooper, and she stays living partly with us and partly somewhere else, so we regularly have a dog coming to visit, so that's probably enough for us at the moment.
That's when you get your fix. You a dog person, Bron?
Yep.
Have you got a dog?
I've got two dogs and a cat.
Oh. What are your dogs' names?
Missy and Nino.
Nino?
Yeah.
And the cat's name is?
Lulu.
Oh, beautiful. Do they get along okay?
Oh, they swipe each other, the cat and the dogs.
Oh, great.
Yeah. They tolerate each other, dogs and cats, don't they? Yeah.
Oh, dear. Where are we, Bron? Your second question.
What do you like doing for fun?
Okay, so I love walking and I do what I call meditative walking. So I don't walk listening to something that's distracting me. I walk in with nature and I listen to the birds and I look at the trees and that's my focus, quiet time. I also love the beach and I swim in the bay most days, even all through winter. And I'm not a very strong swimmer, but I love being in the water. So I'm never going to, you know, swim hundreds of Ks or anything, but I just love being out in the water. And I do paddleboarding as well. So, those would be my main things I do. I do a bit of yoga. I love cooking. I still do a bit of sewing and craft when I get time. But life's a bit busy at the moment.
So you're going to swim today or you have swum?
I haven't swum this morning. No, probably on my way home. Yeah, I keep my things in the car. So if the mood takes me and I've got a long drive home, I might stop and have a swim and then go home after that.
Have you got a particular location where you always swim?
I do at home.
Don't say in the water, Deb.
No. At Canadian Bay is my closest beach, Canadian Bay in Mount Eliza. But I've got to find some new places now between home and Brighton. And I found somewhere on Friday night. So I came to the art opening and I had an hour to kill. So I finished at Middle Crescent and I went searching for a beach, found a beach, had a swim, got changed and came here.
Beautiful. You need to chat with Wendy, staff member Wendy, swims every morning. Black Rock, I believe.
Black Rock, okay. Oh, well, that might be worth investigating.
With a crew.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, I will have a chat to her. Yes.
Well, Robbie, what's the name of the sunken vessel there? Do you know Black Rock?
Container vessels?
No, I don't think it is a container. There's a famous... Cerberus. The Cerberus, yeah.
Cerberus.
Yeah,
Cerberus.
That's where they swim around that, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I might not be up to swimming that far. That would be my...
The occasional interaction with a seal, apparently.
Yeah, oh, lovely. Okay, I'll give it a go.
Great. So, yeah, exercise is important to you.
Yeah, exercise is very important. Yeah.
I do not want a pet seal, Luke. I want to ask Robbie the next question, though, or get him to ask his next question.
What is the most important
thing? Now, hang on, Rob. Have I stuffed this up?
Yes.
I have. Sorry. The most important thing, Rob, is to get the order right. Luke.
Yep. Jeez, Matt.
It's Monday. I'm nervous. It's the big boss.
It's Monday morning. You've just been jumping.
You might be right.
Are you scared of anything?
Am I scared of anything? I'm okay with spiders, but I'd be scared of snakes, and I actually am scared of big dogs. And the reason for that is I used to be a nurse that visited people in their homes, and I had a very big and aggressive German Shepherd corner me in a room, and I couldn't get out. And this is in the days before mobile phones and things. He didn't actually attack me, but if I'd moved, he probably would. And that's just made me very wary of big dogs ever since.
That would be understandable, yeah. What did you do in that situation?
Well, I stood in the corner of a room holding a pillow, and fortunately, the person who lived with the man I was actually visiting had forgotten something and came back home and realised she hadn't locked the dog out, which she normally did. So I was saved. I don't know what I would have done otherwise, because I couldn't get out of the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wow, that is a... yeah, I can understand your fear. Matt, we are back to you, I believe, my friend.
What is your favourite talent?
Say that again, sorry, Matt.
What is your secret talent?
Would you say you've got a secret talent, Matt?
No.
Not particularly?
I've got a secret.
So I got asked this a little while ago, and nobody believed me when I told them that I can do the splits.
Oh, well,
but I'm not about to demonstrate it now.
I was going to say, I know this isn't the right medium, but
you're right. First.
Yeah, right. Given your gymnastics background.
Yes.
Well, that is a thing that 99% of us cannot do.
No. And I was chatting to the team that I go training with. I do an exercise program on a Saturday, and we were talking about, you know, who's got a special talent, and I said, oh, yeah, I can still do it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, you just got to warm up a little more these days.
Warm up and stretch out a bit, yeah.
I beg your pardon, Luke?
You put Dan's doozy in there.
I have put Dan's doozy in this week. We have put Dan's doozy in. Now, Deb, Dan is our colleague, part of the team here. As you know, we've just got half the team here, and Dan is one of the staff here at Bailey House. And every week we've just started to throw in a question we're calling Dan's doozy.
Okay.
And this week it's going to be read by Rob.
Right.
What is the most important thing you've ever done for yourself?
Oh, that is a doozy question, isn't it? What's the most important thing I've ever done for myself? Oh... Gosh, I need some clues for that one. That's a really interesting question.
Do you want us to come back to that even, Deb?
If we let me have a think
about that if you can.
Yeah.
Rob, can you remind us? We'll try and remember to get back to that.
Okay.
What about you? Well, Deb might come up with something. I'm going to ask you, Rob. What's the most important thing you've ever done for yourself?
Oh, I've been working, I've been exercising, and I've been taking walks in the park and around the block and travelled and taken rides everywhere around Melbourne.
Yeah. Dan, do you remember Dan's response to his own question, Bron?
I'm not sure.
Dan said he made the decision to it's okay to go out to events on your own. He likes going to events and concerts in particular by himself. So he's got no distractions. Yeah. Anything spring to mind yet, Deb?
Possibly what I was talking about earlier is about when I'm walking, not having any distractions around me. Or in fact, when I'm doing any kind of exercise, being in the moment. Yeah, right, and not trying to multitask or, you know, have lots of other stimuli around me. Just focus on what I'm doing.
Those distractions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give it your full attention. Yeah. Well, you've done it again, Dan. Thank you. Bronnie. This one here, number 12 there, Bron.
Yeah. What do you like listening to?
Hi. That's a good question as well, because I love music, and because I love dancing, obviously I love music. I particularly love Brazilian jazz. My second love would be just jazz generally, but not Dixie kind of jazz, but really soulful kind of jazz would probably be my favourite kind of music. And I drive home listening to ABC Classical, because I just find that really relaxing and that unwinds me. Yeah.
Where does your love of jazz come from? Was that played in the house as a child?
No, through my husband, actually. He first introduced, he grew up with a jazz family, and listening to some of the old classics, particularly the Brazilian, you know, Brazil 66 and Getz and Gilberto. And he introduced me to it, and we both love it. So we'll go and find jazz clubs to go to. And we particularly like, you know, finding those sort of lesser known people that are maybe in a really small, intimate venue. I don't like concerts in great big places like Rod Laver Arenas. I'd much rather go to a jazz club and sit there with maybe 20 people and listen to some great music.
There's plenty of them across town.
There's plenty across town. We're very lucky. We've got some great ones to go to. Yeah.
Bron, you love your music. Are you a jazz person? I know you love your gospel.
Yeah. I love all different kinds.
So you would listen to jazz occasionally?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, you two girls need to chat jazz.
Chat a bit more.
What is your favourite part of Melbourne?
Well, I'm going to ask you that question, Matt Lloyd. Have you got a favourite part of Melbourne?
Fed Square.
Oh, really? What do you like about Fed Square?
It's big. Yep.
And spacious, lots of space. Yes. And look at the huge screen there, right?
Yes.
My favourite part of Melbourne is probably around the Botanic Gardens, yeah.
You get there as often as you can?
Not very often. You know, I live a long way out of the city, so I don't love cities generally. I like to have lots of space around me, so that's why I like the gardens, because there's some space, not all the big high rises around you.
So you like being in the, you said around the gardens, you like being in the gardens themselves?
Yes, in the gardens, yeah. Walking around the gardens and, yeah.
Listening to nothing,
yeah.
Get off my foot.
I beg your pardon, Luke?
Get off my foot.
It wouldn't be a Bailey Babble recording if I didn't bump into your darn size 15s.
14.
14, they may as well be 15.
What do you like reading?
Is that something you do much of, Robbie, reading?
Yeah, I'm going back into reading and practicing my reading. I do like practicing my reading and trying to get better at it and improve at it very much indeed.
What would you read when you're practicing?
Reading the articles and following the page numbers.
Yep.
Reading the papers and following the page numbers and keep up to date with them.
I do see you at times with a newspaper. Yourself, Deb? Is that reading important to you?
It probably was more than it is now. I find reading at night, which is the only time when I've really got time, I can't see very well. I'm struggling a bit with the old eyes these days. So I tend to listen to podcasts rather than read. Yeah. And usually if I'm listening to a podcast, it'll be more of a documentary or an informative one as opposed to a story. But if I am reading a story, then I like stories that talk about complex relationships and take you on a bit of a journey through someone's life. I don't particularly like reading crime, because I don't like reading when things are really violent and horrible, because I've got an ability when I'm reading something to start to visualise it really strongly, and then I can't get that picture out of my head.
That's not going to help with sleep.
No, it doesn't help you sleep, no.
Have you got an all-time favourite podcast that we should tune into or that you could recommend?
Look, there's a number of them. I can't think of one that I would say is my absolute favourite. I quite like Brené Brown. Brené Brown's done a lot of work about being a leader but being vulnerable as a leader. And she's got some really interesting, and she's great on podcasts. She's done some really great podcasts.
Mm. All right, one to research, perhaps. Bronnie, now I think this is your last question, madam.
How do you feel about being the new CEO?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it? How do I feel about being the new CEO? I feel excited. I felt, you know, a little bit nervous when I on my first few days. There are obviously expectations coming from everybody on what I'm going to do while I'm here. So it's a big responsibility. The most important thing to me is to make sure that we all go on whatever the journey is, whatever we're wanting to achieve, that we're all going to do that together. So whilst I might have this, you know, title and authority, that's not what it's about. It's about how can we all take Bailey House together to where we want it to be.
Now, Matt, you might recall Warwick endorsed Deb very highly, didn't he? He said lovely things about Deb.
Yes, he did.
And he said, he mentioned Deb's values. Am I right?
Yes.
He said, you've got great values, Deb. Are you able to just to expand on that a little, what your values are?
Yeah, so look, my values are very much about equality, about collaboration, working together. Kindness is one of my very strong values. And it used to be that that wasn't something you said as a leader, but I think things have really changed and I'll always have that as probably, that's probably my number one, is being kind always, because you never know what somebody else's story is, and being listening well and being encouraging.
Jeepers creepers, these are similar things to what Warwick
said.
Yeah, and I think everyone considered him a pretty impressive leader, so I'm very excited to have Deb in steering the ship. Luke, you've got the last question, mate.
Steering what ship?
The Bailey House, the good ship Bailey House. Making sure we don't run aground.
Like a boat.
Yeah. All right, mate, fire away, buddy.
Fire.
And then Deb can get to this next meeting.
Yeah. No, this is... what?
Great.
What do you... I heard...
Now, this was a challenging one, wasn't it? You've got the eyes there, and what do eyes do?
See.
Yeah, well, they look...
They look...
Looking.
Looking.
And the question was for Deb was about looking.
Looking forward to...
At where?
Bay House.
Yeah, what are you looking forward to, Deb? Have you got any grand vision at this point?
I'm still in that very exploratory phase. Just going to take my time, get to know people, get to know all the different aspects of the organisation. So visiting all the houses, visiting the different sites, having a chat to people. From that, I'll then start to form, I think, a clearer vision for the future. But what I'm looking forward to right now is we've got all the Christmas celebrations coming up very soon. There are lots of opportunities to meet and greet people, which is really what I need to be doing, so I'm really excited about that. So from now till Christmas, my diary looks a little bit crazy, but it's going to be great. I think there might be too much cake, though. That will be the only thing.
Do you think, Robbie, would you say the Bailey House community likes Christmas?
I think the Bailey House community enjoys and likes Christmas very much indeed.
Probably a celebration in general, right?
Yeah, it is, Matt. Celebration in general.
Rob, I did one thing we didn't ask Deb, and just curious to know where now Warwick used to be based. He had his office at Middle Crescent. Is that where you'll be based, Deb, most of the time?
So I have got an office at Middle Crescent, and I'm certainly spending at least 2 days a week there. But while I'm getting to know everyone, I'm trying to spend a little bit of time at Nepean. And some time here as well. yeah. So I love coming here. I think the colour and the ideas, it feels like there's lots of ideas happening from here at the moment. So I'm trying to spend my time everywhere. I probably won't spend a lot of time out at the houses. I'm certainly visiting them to get to know them, but that, you know, they're people's homes and it's more disruptive, I think, for me to be there. Yeah. But I'll come and visit you, because I did come and visit you, didn't I?
Yes.
You didn't make her wash your dirty socks and your...
No, I do it myself.
Good, good, good.
With the staff.
Speak about.
With the staff's help.
That's tremendous, Luke. Hey, and I tell you what else has been tremendous. Special guest, Deb. Thank you so much for joining us, Deb. We greatly appreciate it. And we look very excited to have you on board.
Thank you. And I'm really excited to be here. And it'll be really interesting to listen to the Bailey babble when it's all edited and ready to go.
No, don't worry. He puts it on fast.
What's that, mate?
You put it on fast.
We'll get it up this afternoon for our listenership. Hey, Lukey, thanks for being part of the interview, my friend.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Matt Lloyd, thanks so much, mate.
Thank you.
Robbie Blumenstein, until next time.
Take care. See you later. Have a good day. See you in this interview.
And Bronwyn Phillips.
Have fun, everyone. Enjoy your day, everyone.
And, yeah, to our loyal listeners, thanks for dabbling in all our babbling. This has been the Bailey Babble. Oh, and a big thank you to Dan and the fellow babblers, Ange, Gav, Cassis and David, for all their help with the work behind the scenes. That's a wrap.